where we'll be sending our youth group off in prayer as they leave for Vero Beach at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So a lot of good things happening here in this church with our young people. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, as we come before you here this morning, we thank you for being with us here this week as our young people have experienced such a wonderful time at Warren Willis. And Lord, we are so grateful for our youth group as they get ready to go and share your love with people of Vero Beach. Lord, we know there's a great need in that area. Even here, there's a great need as well. But we just pray that you will be with them. Grant them strength in your favor as we prepare to send them forth with blessing. For all this we pray in the precious name of Christ our Savior. Amen. So the truth, it comes out in this series. There's no holding back. He deserved it. Or so I thought in the moment. Mike teased me. And Mike teased me, and Mike teased me some more in church. I was tired of Mike. Mike was 3 years older than me, and Mike was much larger than me. Mike was in ninth grade, and I was just beginning in the sixth grade. We shared the same Sunday school class. Poor Miss Alton. She had to put up with us every Sunday. Yes, every single Sunday I would come into church. We would sing our songs at the opening. We'd do our prayers. We'd give our Sunday school offering. And then I would have to listen to Mike. Listen to Mike throw these jabs at me time and time again until we walked to class. It never let up. Mike continued to throw these jabs at me, and I never said anything to anyone. My anger continued to escalate. Now, moments of rage began to flash through my head as a young sixth grader. I just wanted to, you know, the rest. Well, there was one Sunday in particular. Mike had me steamed like broccoli. Mike was throwing some jabs. Tension was building in my head. Anger was flowing from the bottom of my feet all the way to the smoke puffing out my ears. And all of a sudden, I was ready to lunge towards him. And out of nowhere, this anger erupted like that volcano in Hawaii. I lunged at Mike with a right cut. Boom! Right into his face. And down Mike went to the ground. It was like me, the sixth grader David, versus him, the ninth grade Goliath. Just right, a scene right out of the Bible. Well, Mike, he looked up in disbelief. And like I said earlier, poor Miss Alton. Miss Alton was completely stunned. The preacher's kid just laid out the bully. Well, it didn't take long for both of us to land in the principal's office. Poor dad. I mean, I felt bad at that moment. I made dad look like a fool. Here's his son. He just got in a fight in Sunday school. Well, we did make it up to the principal's office. And dad got up out of his Sunday school class, and off he went to the office. And I was thinking to myself, as Mike and I were sitting in the office with Miss Alton, what did I just do? What in the world just happened in this moment? Well, what happened was I let anger get the best of me. You've all been there, right? Where you let anger get the best of you? Probably 99.9% of you have never gotten a fight in a church before. And I don't recommend it because it's not any better there either. Today marks our fourth Sunday in the 7-week series of the seven deadly sins. And I hope that you've been able to grow from this series as much as I have. Working through the preparation of this message, and these messages have allowed me to truly think about these sins that I commit and how I best can follow God and not so much follow the ways of the world. Anger can easily get the best of us, as I shared in my own confession of my anger getting the best of me. You see, my anger turned to rage, and my rage then turned to violence. Now, as most of you know me, I wouldn't hurt a fly. A cockroach, maybe, but a fly, I don't know. But as you know, anger can turn the nicest of people into raging lunatics. You've been there. You've done that. Maybe you've been on the receiving end, or maybe you've been the cause of it. Anger isn't healthy either. Anger causes ulcers. Anger can cause insomnia. Anger can cause high blood pressure. Anger can cause headaches, and so much more. It takes a physical toll on our bodies. Anger can shame. Anger can blame. Anger can demean. Anger can analyze. Anger can demoralize. Anger can criticize. Anger can preach at. Anger can teach to. And anger can judge. And oddly enough, I learned from Dr. Michelle this week that anger can even show appreciation. If you're angry at someone, then it adds value. And we see this pent-up anger all around us. Facebook. Right? You gotta love Facebook. Instagram. The grocery store. Or a store on Black Friday. In the car in an intersection. On the highway, right, Matthew Summers? At work. In school. You know, anger is so built up nowadays that people will go into former places of employment or even in schools and do some really bad things. And all the while we hear society and culture pumping this subtle message. We can do whatever we want. And because I can do whatever I want, I can pour my anger out on anybody I want. And it's having an impact on everyone. What's happening with our society? Have we let this sin of acting out on our anger get the best of our life and our culture? You know, this is nothing new. This sin of acting out on our anger has been around for a long time, for a very long time. And you might be sitting there and thinking to yourself, why is anger considered one of the seven deadly sins? Is anger in and of itself bad? Doesn't God get angry? And didn't Jesus get angry in the Bible? Yes, God got angry and still was angered. And remember, Jesus encountered those who were making money from those who came to the temple to worship. Jesus kicked them out, and he spoke about his anger too. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, Jesus says, "It is written that my house will be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a den of robbers. But let's look at Jesus' anger compared to our anger for a moment. Jesus' anger is nothing like our anger. When someone wrongs us or doesn't let us do what we want to do, we get angry. We get angry when we don't get what we want. Many times that we find ourselves angry, it's a selfish anger, isn't it? Jesus' anger wasn't this way. It was not selfish. And God's anger is not selfish either. And Jesus expressed anger when people were being treated unfairly. And this anger is sometimes known as righteous anger. Now, anger rooted in our sin. Get this. Anger that is rooted in our sin produces quarreling. It produces jealousy. It can produce anger. It can produce hostility. It can produce slander. It can produce gossip. It can produce conceit. And it can produce disorder. It also produces enmity, it produces strife, and it produces fits of anger, which are temper tantrums. It produces rivalries, it produces dissensions, it produces divisions. And this sinful anger is so common in us that we are reminded in the Scriptures to put away anger, to put away wrath, to put away our malice towards one another. And that everyone who is angry with his brother and sister, they're liable to judgment. Now we see this in today's main passage of Scripture. If we go into the Old Testament, back into Genesis, we're going to see a case in point of how anger really turned badly. So if you have your Bibles, or you can follow up on the screen, to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. Remember that, because we're going to get back into this. And the Lord had regard for Abel, for his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. We're going to talk about that too. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door." It's right there waiting for you. "Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were out in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." You know, God clearly saw a difference in these offerings. God had great appreciation for Abel's offering, but God didn't have so much of that appreciation with Cain's offering. You see, Abel brought an offering of blood, which was the firstborn of his flock. And Cain brought this offering of vegetation. Now, you have to remember that grain offerings were acceptable to God, but it wasn't acceptable to God for an atonement for their sin. But God here was concerned about faith and their heart in this. God wasn't concerned how pretty the offering was or how much blood there was. You see, it was one lamb at that moment for a human, for their sin. And then get this, later down the road at Passover, it was one lamb for a family. And then at the Day of Atonement, it was one lamb for a nation. And then at the moment of Jesus, it was one lamb who took away the sins of the world. So do you see how important this offering was? This offering had so much meaning behind it and the heart for giving it. And when Cain experienced the disappointment of God upon him for his heart and for his faith, Cain became very angry. But Cain's anger is rooted in pride. And that's something we talked about in week one. Cain couldn't bear the fact that his brother's offering was appreciated and his wasn't. And that anger, it quickly escalated and it became much worse. Because Cain was now committing the sin of pride and hypocrisy. And God says to Cain, Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, remember what's said in the scripture, sin crouches. It crouches right there at the door. Just remember, like a door, you're sneaking behind the door, ready to just pop out. And sin's lurking right there. And the sin's desire is for you. But, God says, you should roll over it. God was saying, Cain, you need to get a grip on your anger. You are the one in control of this, Cain. Get a grip. Now, God knew the answers to the questions that he was asking. But he wanted Cain to know and resist the pull towards violence and towards his anger within. God here was giving Cain the opportunity to choose, that gift of free will. And God warned Cain about the destructive power of sin. Cain could resist and find blessing, or he could fall into this trap of sin and be devoured. You see, we can prevent sin. This is important. We can prevent sin by letting God be the master of our life first. By putting God first in our life, we can have control over our anger. And without God as our master, we then find ourselves captured by it and falling into sin. Cain planned to catch Abel by surprise, luring him in with a pleasant conversation. And what this shows to us is that Cain committed premeditated murder. He had thought about it. And he clearly ignored God's plan of escape here by making the right decision. At this point, no one had died or been killed before. But Cain saw how animals were being sacrificed, and so he did the same way on his brother. And at that moment, this was a downward spiral out of control, and it progressed so quickly. Now this hoped-for redeemer was found out to be a murderer, and the second son was now the victim of a murder. Sin couldn't be contained. It was out on the loose. And God says to Cain, "Where is your brother?" And he said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, God knew the answer. God knew the answer to that question. He asked Cain because he wanted to give him the opportunity to confess that sin and start doing the right thing after he had done wrong. And I think to myself, why would Cain even consider lying to God? It was crazy for him to think that he could hide it from God. We can't hide our sins from God. Am I my brother's keeper? That line's famous. And the fact of the matter is that he was supposed to be his brother's keeper, but in turn, he ended up being his brother's murderer. And he murdered him. He murdered his brother for the lowest of reasons. Pride. Because God liked his offering over his brother's. And anger. When it all was rooted, it was because of anger. And it was because of pride. Abel didn't injure Cain in any way. All Abel did was give an offering to God. And Abel gets killed in the process. All because of spiritual jealousy. You see, we are all going to have moments in our life where we are consumed by anger. You're probably going to get angry today. You might get angry because I've preached a half-hour sermon. Hey, now. But the question remains for us here today is this. How will we control our anger? Will it get the best of us? Or will we get the best of it? You know my preaching style, and I always like to offer some suggestions or a challenge. And I want to offer you some suggestions if you're dealing with anger, which all of us are. So here are some suggestions and practical tools. First is this, look for the positive. You know, imagine for a moment you're on San Jose Boulevard. And for some reason, up here at the traffic light up by Chipotle, it's completely at a standstill. And you're stuck. You're in the middle lane. And there's no way to go in or out of anything. You're stuck. Now, most times, we throw a fit of rage, don't we? We blow our horn. We get mad. We throw our hands in the air. And we put up a fuss. But there's nothing we can do, right? So look for the positive. What if we turn that around and say, you know what? I haven't called my aunt in a very long time. I think I'm going to call her right now. And while you're sitting in traffic for 10 minutes, call your aunt who's probably been waiting for your phone call and find blessing in that. Look for the positive in the moment of your anger. Another one is this, meditate. Spend a few moments in quiet. You know, I truly enjoy those moments when Pastor Will takes us through a meditation in worship. You know, it's 3 minutes. And for us Americans, 3 minutes can seem like a lifetime of quiet. But take those 3 minutes and to just dwell in the presence of God. Pastor Will usually says, use a word that represents God in your meditation. And for me, that word is shalom. And it means peace. And so as I'm praying in meditation, I usually just say to myself, shalom. 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 And I find peace in that moment of quiet that comes from God. Meditate is a good way to find our anger released. Another one is this. Figure out what the cause of your anger really is. You know, there might be a stressful day that I had, and I walk into the house, and I see dishes piled up in the sink. Now, Jen is still working, and I'm angry. Now, instead of being angry from the stressful day that I had and taking it out, and the dishes are a reflection of my anger. I see you laughing back there, Abigail. Why not assign it to Abby? And say, Abby, put the dishes away before I get home. And then it deflects my anger, you see. Figure out what is the cause of your anger and take action upon it before it gets the best of you. Another one is this. Write your frustrations out. Journal. I've come to find it's very helpful to me when I write my frustrations out. Or maybe some of you do as well. And as you're writing out your frustrations, you know what you're actually doing? You're actually praying to God. And you're writing out and you're talking with God. And many times, through the work of God's Holy Spirit, you find yourself answering your own frustrations when you're writing it out. It allows for you to create an action plan based upon the leading of God's Holy Spirit in your life. Another one that's not on here, but one that Pastor Debbie mentioned in her message this morning, was proper counsel. Receive good spiritual counsel, whether from your pastors, or whether from a mentor, a spiritual mentor, or whether from professional counselors as well. You know, Pastor Will and I and Pastor Debbie and Jawanda have a list of recommended counselors that we often share with many people. Because anger can be an issue in our lives that can get the best of us and lead us down some very dark paths. And if you're experiencing anger and you don't have anybody to turn to, seek us out and we'll get you that. And the last one here is to dive into God's Word, to reflect and to contemplate about the actions to which you should take. You know, oftentimes I'll find answers in Proverbs. But also, you can read throughout the entire scriptures. Paul writes about this, about dealing with anger. And as we dive into God's word and as we follow the ways of the Lord, we then find ourselves walking in the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then Paul says this, if you're walking by the Spirit, this is the fruit of the Spirit. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. Is gentleness. And get this, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, this is the action, have crucified the flesh with its passions and with its desires. When we walk with Christ, we crucify those things. We put them away. And we find ourselves walking with God. I learned so much in Sunday school that day, long, long time ago. I learned that I can't let anger get the best of me. Because if I let anger get the best of me, I let down God. I let down others, and I let down myself. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11 says this, "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man or a wise woman quietly holds it back." Shall we pray? Lord, allow us to hold back our anger from having fits of rage towards others. We find so often, Lord, that anger can produce so much pain, inwardly, outwardly, upon others, upon ourselves, and also with you. So teach us, O Lord, to walk in your way, to be led by your Spirit, so that we can find fruit, the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, of gentleness, and of self-control. Because if we walk with these things, O Lord, in our life with you, there's no need for law. Because, Lord, we walk in your way. Let us put away anger, O Lord. And let us find you. For this we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.